I need you to give me a call as soon as possible. My toll-free number is 1-800-918-4224. Your claim number is WA928. It's very important you give us a call as soon as possible. Thank you and have a great day. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Dunaway, and you're listening to Comics Coast to Coast. This is episode number 18, and tonight, it's just going to be me and Justin Thompson of Mythical.
Hey, Brian.
Hello, Justin.
Yes, tonight's forecast, cloudy with a no chance of Tom.
Yes, and, what is Tommy doing anyway? I love calling him different names, Tommy.
He sent me an email telling me what it was. And it was something that he didn't think he could get out of, yeah. But I don't rightly remember.
Yeah, it was so boring, you couldn't read the whole email, right?
Yeah, well, maybe next week he can get back and explain to us just why this young man was not here.
Yeah, well, I think he sent it to me too, but y'all were having some kind of live discussion there the other day, and I got about 13 emails, and I was just trying to get through all of them. And I was like,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, we went from, oh my God, I don't think we have a show this week because this guest isn't ready and this guest isn't ready.
Yeah.
All the way to, well, wait a minute, I might have a lead here, to, yes, we have a show. You know, excellent. So it was like about 15 emails leading up. Build. If you put them all in a row in a document, you may have a book.
Excellent. I may have. I'll check that out. Yeah, myself, I've been kind of, I don't know if you can tell, I'm kind of nasally tonight. I've had a pretty good sinus infection going on. Very good stuff. I love the sinus infection. Right now, one ear is stopped up, so I feel like I'm about to fall over my desk any minute now.
Oh, yikes. Well, we'll do a short show tonight. I recorded an interview.
Did you now?
Earlier this week with Stefan Pastis, because Stefan Pastis, the god of pearls before swine.
There you go.
Had some things to say about our recent Burke Breathitt interview.
Did he really?
Yeah, well, I think it's really good because unfortunately the answers that we got from Burke Breathitt, which he was so gracious to even write us back, were absolutely limited because we couldn't get into a discussion. So, you know, now we have Stefan's answers, which elaborates a lot on these answers, and I was able to kind of ask him some of the questions that I would have asked Burke Breathitt. And you'll hear that Stefan has some different points of view about all this, but it's a very silly interview, but there are flashes of brilliance from this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he really has some great insights, as you'll hear.
Yeah, he's kind of a pessimist, kind of like Breath was. So,
well, dude, you know what? The more I find out about this business and what's happening, the more I'm just going
jaded, huh?
Like, wow, maybe I did have a better shot when I was trying to be an actor.
Oh, yeah, really? Nice.
I mean, wow, this is, it's very depressing.
Yeah.
You know, I have the syndication thing coming up. You know, my strip Mythical got syndicated for online syndication, right?
I'm so excited about that.
I am not, thank you. I wish I was. and I don't mean to say I'm not grateful.
Yeah,
and I'm sure that several artists out there just threw their mechanical pencils at their computer lit when I said that. ow, if it makes you feel any better. But the problem is, and I really first noticed this, I had been putting off signing the contracts for a week, and I was going over them, but not going over them very quickly, partially because I'm real busy.
Oh, yeah.
But partially because I don't know why. I just was like, eh. So I finally got them all together, and I had to print 3 copies and send them back.
Wow.
To Kansas City. So I did that. I printed them up, and I was walking back to the printer.
Yeah.
And it suddenly felt like I was wearing Doc Martin boots and just heaviness.
Yeah.
As I walked, I felt every step, and it was like, what is wrong with me? I feel like I'm Sean Penn in that movie with the nun walking down the prison thing. What was that? Last Man Standing,
there you
whatever.
Go, Last Man Standing.
I don't know what it was, but you know, it's like, what? This is a wonderful thing. I really should be a lot happier about this, but I'm not, and I didn't know why. So I've had to really try to figure all that out. And I went over to Lex's office, Lex Fajardo.
Lex Fajardo. Yes, we've had him on the
and
show
And I
before.
Told him, I said, dude, what does he do? Well, he works here at the studio as well.
Yeah, but he also does a comic strip, doesn't he?
And a graphic novel called Kid Beowulf.
There you go.
Which I urge you all to pick up. It's it's brilliant. If you haven't listened to the Lex Fajardo interview that we had earlier on, dig that out in the archive. It's really good.
And he's not to get sidetracked and let you get back to what you were saying a few seconds ago. I was looking at the some news groups the other day, and I noticed that he has a bunch of his posts in like in alt.binaries.comicstrips or something, I believe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's interesting. Interesting tactic. I'd actually thought about doing that in the past. I have a friend who's really big in the news groups, and he's kind of turned me on to some of these picture archives. Not the bad ones, just the good ones. Like, you know, there's like a fish, and there's a whole fish news group, and there's a whole comic strip news group, and there's just all these different things that you just wouldn't ever think of. Like, one of the most popular ones out there is railroads, like trains. So, who knows? Anywho. I noticed he was like one of the few people that was listed on the alt.binaries comics, and I was wondering if it was able to give him any traffic from that.
I don't know. I'll find out if he's picked up any traffic for his website, kidbeowulf.com. But the thing is, he's got books to sell on his website. He's hooked in with Cafe Press. He has T-shirts and mugs and all kinds of great things, like everything that we talk about doing to make money at this thing as a web cartoonist. And, you know, the more I find out about this, the less money I'm seeing these guys make.
because
you factor in the cost of the comic convention, the table, the getting there, the staying there, the feeding yourself while you're there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like,
the
okay, here's
the ho-hos. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, here's yet another avenue of this this business that we don't make money at. And I'm like, all right, so we don't make money on the conventions. We don't make money selling the books. We don't make money off the website. What the hell are we doing, dude? Where's this money come in? And it just seems like so much bloody effort for really no payoff other than a stroke.
Yeah.
You say, hey, I've got books out here and people know who I am. I don't really need that much.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I love making this stuff.
Yeah. I think it'd be interesting to get some of these cartoonists on here and tell us how much they make a year. Gross.
Yeah, a lot of them are really reluctant to say. I'm too embarrassed to ask Lex what he makes. But I did interview him for about 5 or 6 minutes about, you know, making money on this stuff. And why don't you go ahead and play that right here?
Okay. And we'll listen to this right now.
Okay, so I'm here with Lex Fajardo, and we're talking about Comic-Con and getting a table at Comic-Con. And it's like $350 a table, right?
Yes.
Okay, so
for the small press table,
which is what we are. We're not like we're just starting out. So, and I talked to Lex about. Okay, we got. What was I saying yesterday about? Your website and selling like through Cafe Press.
Right.
Now, what was that again?
Well,
like the cost of the
Cafe
items.
Cafe Press is kind of a. I don't want to say a losing proposition, but you're not going to make money from it because the base price for a T-shirt or a mug or a hat or any of the items that you can sell is so high that the added price to it, for instance, like if they sell a hat, the base price is generally like $15. Anything you add on to that is your profit. So if you put your logo on a hat and you want to sell it for $20, you're only making $5 of that. Realistically, how many people are going to buy a $20 hat on top of the shipping and whatnot?
Truly. I mean, absolutely. It would have to be some logo that would be the most mind-blowing, coolest thing in the world for me to get a hat and say, okay, I'm going to wear this everywhere, and people are going to think I'm really awesome. Right. Now, what could that be?
Yeah.
Nothing is my answer, because nothing would ever make me look awesome. Truly.
And then you got your shirts, which are like, you know, base price of $20. Who in their right mind is going to pay more for that?
I mean, so Cafe Press store set up for you don't make any money on that. So then you got
I use it strictly for advertising and promotion. If somebody wants to wear or buy a Kid B shirt, they can that helps me out because it's more eyeballs on the profit. But I don't really on the product, but I don't really put much more than a couple bucks added on to the actual base price.
Right, and you have graphic novels which you sell through your website as well.
Right.
Now, in order for people to know about the graphic novels, you have to do a certain amount of PR, press, advertising. Got to get the books out there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is why I go to comic conventions. I mean, that's primarily how I get the word out there. I was just at Stumptown in Portland this past weekend, and that's a great opportunity to show people the work. Most people never heard of Kid Beowulf, never heard of me. So it's a small venue, but it's, again, another 100 to 500 eyeballs that have never seen it before. So it's, few and far between, but it grows each year. And the more conventions you go to, the more people recognize you, the more they see, oh, he's serious, and I should take a look at his book, and, they'll buy it.
So getting to a convention, though, getting a table, getting there transportation-wise, shipping, hauling your books, if you have graphic novels, really, why else would you go and get a table if you didn't have a graphic novel? And then hotels, just like at Comic-Con San Diego, $350 for a small press table, you're going to have to sell, 20 books? What did I say?
15 to 20 for
15
like
to 15 to 20 books.
$15 book.
Yeah, to cover the cost of the table.
Right.
Then you've got to somehow sell more books to recoup the hotel, your meals, and transportation.
Yep.
So you're not making really any money on the books. You're not really making any money on cafe press. You're not really making any money on the conventions.
Right. You cannot go to a convention.
What the F are we doing, dude?
You can't go to a convention thinking you're actually going to, get into the black. It's just, is it red? I think it's black. It's always going to be a losing money thing. But what a convention can do, as it has done for me over the 7-odd years that I've been going to them, last year I actually found a publisher. And now he's taking on the burden of printing the books and the marketing of the books. So the next convention that I go to, the next Comic-Con, what's going to cost me is probably the transportation cost and the hotel cost. But they'll cover the table, they'll cover the books. So everything I make is going to be profit in terms of those things that I used to have to cover in the past.
So there is light at the end of the tunnel here.
Yeah, it's just...
Well, that's good. It's very hopeful because I'm looking at even syndicated guys make 5 cents, 10 cents on every book they sell on an annual collection.
Right.
Off of however much money those books are, $20-$25, and I'm just thinking there is no way to, how do you make any money at this anymore?
Right, it's a hard thing because the books basically feed into the other media.
Yeah,
the potential for an animated show so that the books are a vehicle to make money in other avenues, but it's not where you're going to make money. But the books is where the real art is. I mean, that's where your vision is still your own, and that's, the heart and soul of it. So
basically the books are holding the door open so you can climb through, pry yourself through to get into some other venue to make a buck. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Well, there it is, folks, the bleak outlook of your comics career. Thanks a lot, Lex. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
Wow, that was interesting.
Yeah, and a little depressing, right?
Just a little bit.
I don't mean to say that Lex is a depressing guy or anything like that.
Yeah.
I love the guy. He's not. He's a very positive guy. I mean, you'd have to be able to put out this level of work.
Absolutely.
And still have all that faith that someday it's all going to hit. And he is getting a lot better. He's got a publisher now, as he said. So, a lot of that stuff's getting taken off of his hands.
That's great. That's great. Yeah.
But the thing is, I've got this trepidation about it all because it's like this is gonna demand a lot more time from me.
Yes, it will.
To do this, and I don't have that to spend.
Right now. Yeah,
I
man.
Really don't.
It's,
my
it's
kids
hard.
Are too little. They need their daddy.
They do need your daddy.
Yeah. So I'm just like feeling all this pressure to. I don't know, man. I'm just going to do what I'm doing now and not let any of that other minutia get in my way.
Yeah.
I've just got to get the frame of mind. It's like, it's no different. If you do one new one a week and two repeats, who cares?
Yeah.
I just got, that's what I can do, and that's what I can do. So
it's funny. We should have brought Obsidian on tonight, because he had just recently got some of his first hate mail. Somebody was talking about the quality of his commissioned comic was going down, and I've been watching him forever. I didn't really think it was going down, but you know, he does 7 days a week.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's always on it. But
what does he think about that? How does he feel about it?
He was a little bit excited because he had never gotten any. So, you know, it's kind of a new level for him, because, you know, you have to be at a certain level to start getting hate mail. Otherwise, people just don't care and they don't send you any mail at all. So he was a little bit excited, but he was also a little bit disappointed too. It's like, okay, you really think it's getting worse? But, you know.
Yeah. But you know what? A little kick in the ass like that every once in a while isn't bad.
Yeah, it does.
It makes you take a step back, and we have to do that as artists every once in a while.
Yeah, that's I don't know, man. I'm giving you 7 days a week, man. 7 days a week, I'm giving you this craft for free, and you want to complain at me because it wasn't like the guy just said, I think your stuff is getting slack, you know, and whatever. He basically said he wasn't going to come back and read it anymore, and I'd be like, you know what? Boo-hoo, I don't care. Don't come back.
Later, dude.
That kind of feedback I don't think I would really care for. Constructive feedback, you know, and if you know, I don't know. It's just almost like a kick in the nuts to me from the way it sounded to me.
That's too bad.
Kick him in the nuts and then walk away and go, I hate you. It's like, what? What did I do? You know, I don't know that kind of.
Well, if it's constructive, that's
different. Yeah, exactly. I don't mind constructive. That doesn't bother me at all. I guess when somebody just has a little temper tantrum and skirts off, I don't know. Whatever. this is going to be the grumpy show.
Yeah, it's grumpy until we get this until we play this interview, which we should probably get to.
All right. Think we should play it now. Now?
Yeah, why not? And then we can get to our stuff later.
All right.
We should get to the meat of the stuff right early, I think.
There you go. And here is Stefan Pastis of Pearls Before Swine giving us his take on some of the questions we asked Berkeley Brett this previous episode. Previous episode? All right.
Stefan Pastis is sitting with me here, and we're in his office, his sprawling office, with the wood paneling. And
eating Skittles.
And he's eating Skittles, which has corn syrup, and he really shouldn't be eating it. But who am I to pass judgment? The guy's a syndicated cartoonist.
All your vegetarian crap.
Yeah. Oh, some are green, so those are good for you. Okay, so we're going to do this little interview, because Pastis had some things to say about Burke Brathwood's interview, and I thought they were brilliant, and I wanted his answers to get out there. So here we go. Okay, I'm setting the recorder down. Okay.
I just want to say, first off,
go right ahead,
that I like anybody who calls any of the things I've ever said brilliant.
That's why I thought if I start with that, we might have a better interview.
To me, that automatically makes you a stud in my book.
How do I turn this off for 15 minutes? Let me see here. Okay.
Would you like a Skittle?
No, thank you. Okay, the first one was, Mr. Brethren, no cartoonist succeeds on his first try. How many tries did it take you to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
Is that what you asked him?
Oh, sorry, that's the wrong one. How many tries did it take you to get a syndicate to greenlight Bloom County, and how long did you spend developing it? And he said that in 79 he had a college strip, and then he went back to school, and Washington Post Writers Group called him. And then he was later in about 20 papers, and then in 200, and then about 500, and he says that's the story in all its non-dues paying glory. You have anything for that? American success story?
No. Wasn't he a replacement? I think he was a replacement for Doonesbury when Doonesbury took the sabbatical.
Oh, really?
I think that was the story, but that's a pretty good success story. It usually takes cartoons longer to take off, you know? But that's pretty cool. Here's my comment on that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool, too. That's, I know that you had a particularly brilliant way of saying it, so...
You're a stud.
That is fast, though, isn't it?
I mean, that is fast. What year did he say he got to 500 by?
Well, he didn't. He just said that it started that college thing in 79, so it must have been sometime in the early 80s. So I guess we could think about what was hot then and go, okay, he had, you know, really no one else to...
Yeah, there wasn't anything... I mean, I'm trying to think of the time. There was... Calvin comes along in 85, so Calvin's not around when Bloom County starts. Doonesbury's on sabbatical. Far Side's around. But in terms of a strip that kind of speaks to the college age crowd,
yeah,
he might have been the lone wolf there for a while. So he probably had that niche pretty sewn up.
Well, in 1980, you know, we had Reagan coming in. There was a big push for conservatism coming in, like the likes of which we hadn't seen in a while. So right. Maybe on college campuses, after a couple of years of that, they were saying, you know what, this is kind of a breath of fresh air. Maybe it's something like that. I wish I could have, he actually could have talked with us because I would have asked him that, but
yeah,
you know, with this written, we're here to interpret. Let's move on.
Yes, well asked and well recited.
Given the state of newspaper syndication now, where do you see comic strips going in order to be viable or even survive? Will newspapers themselves survive in the next 10 to 20 years? His answer is pretty bleak.
What do you say?
Well, he said he loved newspapers. He loves everything about them, but, you know, they're becoming obsolete. Things change. He says the comic strip as we know it now will go away, and they change into something that's different. He says, I hope the web can figure out a way to get these really large number of fans into a particular strip. It's the only hope, and things change. He says, I read the tech columnist for Newsweek blather on about how glorious the coming age of web cartoonists were to be, all democratic, banish the dreaded controls of editing and syndicates, blah, 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 blah. He left out something. In 1980, I had a circulation readership of about 70 million Americans across the country. Web strips are lucky to find over a couple of thousand readers right now. The future for web comics? CM for music industry. Won't be more any more at Calvin and Hobbes, just as there won't be another Rolling Stones. Diversity of niches and markets sound good, but there was something warm and cozy and downright thrilling to know that the peanut strip you were amused at on any given Monday in 1970 was also being enjoyed by an entire culture at that very moment, in the hundreds of millions.
Yeah. I mean, that, there's no question the market, all markets, are way, way more segmented than they used to be. I mean, when you and I were kids, you're a lot older than I am, but in the 70s, when you were 35 and I was 14.
Wow, thanks for that. God.
In the 70s, we had three networks. You know, you turn on the TV. You had CBS, NBC, ABC,
right.
then a few local ones. So you had six or seven channels.
Mm-hmm.
You had no internet, no cell phone. So it was your newspaper and those three channels. So there wasn't very much to go by. So there's no question now with DVDs, internet, everything. It's all about narrowcasting, you know. Are the days of broadcasting done? Yes, probably so. What's going to happen with newspapers? That's a lot harder to say. I know the first thing that's going to happen, because it's happening right now, two paper towns are going to go away. Like, in just the time I've been a cartoonist, I know Seattle's papers have struggled. Las Vegas went from two papers to one. Albuquerque's going from two to one. Cincinnati's going from two to one. Mm-hmm. So that's happening.
That's even happening here in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
The Contra Costa Times is almost done.
Wow, that's interesting.
I mean, they're begging for readership. I mean, we get calls from them all the time. I mean, how many times can you say shut up?
Yeah. See, the other thing is that that you see the numbers for some of the big national papers like the Boston Globe and the Chronicle here in San Francisco are really declining.
Mm.
And the scary part for me is if I go to 20 people who are in their 20s or younger, and I say, do you read a paper? I'd say 19 will say no. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, at least not the print version. So I don't know what you do as a comic strip guy. I think you have to make the transition by, this is my guess. While all those kids are not buying a newspaper, they do have a cell phone in one pocket that they're downloading stuff onto. They have an iPod in the other pocket. And then the rest of the time they're on the internet. And I think that you can reach them by animating your comic strip and sending it to all of those platforms. That's what I think the next turn is. I think there's always going to be a market for people who can make other people laugh in 7 seconds or less. That's what I think a comic strip's about.
Hmm.
So we just have to make that transition. I mean,
so we're going to see if they do go to the handheld internet.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see strips like Leo be the hottest thing in the world just because people don't have to take the time to read any words.
That's interesting. I don't want to plug Mark Tatuli though.
Well, I don't either. But the point is that
Mark, I know you're listening to this. I apologize for that comment.
We've just turned into monsters.
But that's the thing, you know, that kind of, I got to get it fast now, my stop's right. coming up thing.
Right.
If they do want to go to a strip, they're going to go on, they're going to go to the ones that don't have words.
Well, they're not going to have to read the words.
Eventually.
The words will be spoken. You'll animate your strip into a little 7-second short. It'll be delivered to your inbox, whether on your cell phone or whatever. You'll turn on your cell phone in the morning on your commute, and you'll see your 3 or 4 favorite strips in animated form with sound presented to you. I think there's a market for that, and we just have to figure out how to make the transition. You know, because the thing is, you know, and this is just a theory, but the big boys like The Simpsons and The Family Guy and all them, I don't think they're much interested in parceling out their content into little 7-second snippets. I don't think it makes sense for them economically, and I also don't think it's their strength necessarily. A comic strip's strength is that you make people laugh quickly, in and out. Hmm. You know, you have to recognize the characters instantly, and boom, be done for the day. It has to be self-contained. That's a specialized skill, and as soon as we learn to animate it cheaply, I think we can make that turn. The other thing we can do is we can sell that. We can sell those little animated shorts to all of those newspapers' websites. Because, for example, while the San Francisco Chronicle subscribers might be going down, their website, SFGate, is doing terrific. So they're not going away, they're going online. So, and with comics, we've kind of made a mistake because we've given them away for free. Most of our syndicates give away our stuff for free on the website.
Yeah.
So we'll start anew, we'll animate, and we'll put them, we'll sell them to newspapers for their site, and we won't give them away for free. And then you can download it, maybe ad-based or, you know, per purchase. You can download it off of iTunes, you can do all that stuff. So I think there's a future. It just doesn't look like the present, you know, but I think there is a future.
Well, maybe the first thing that needs to happen to save all this is to shut down all those, you know, the giving away free of all the syndicated comic strips.
It's you know, I go back and forth on that because it's such a tough call. A, it's the way I get syndicated, and B, it's the only way for somebody who lives in Tallahassee, Florida, to find out about my strip and then turn around and write to their paper and say, can you include this? Otherwise, that guy in Tallahassee probably doesn't know I exist. So it goes both ways. When you get canceled, those people, at a paper, they will say, oh, well, you know, you got canceled today, but it's okay because I can still see you on the internet. If you're the cartoonist, it's not okay because that's how you get your money. You know, you get it from the newspaper. So it cuts both ways.
What if they made available the strips you've already done, the ones that you've already in collections? Let them get hooked that way.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
Let them respond to that, get hooked on that. Because to the reader who doesn't know the strip, they're not going to really know if it's new or old.
Yeah, that's a good
unless
thought.
The style drastically changes in some cases. Yeah, but for the most part, then they could go, we want the new stuff.
Yeah, that's a good thought. Maybe there's some compromise down the middle.
I think Patrick O'Donnell does that. I mean, those aren't first-run strips that he...
On his site.
I think they're delayed a week or so. But I don't know.
Can this pick up what I think I just burned?
I certainly hope so, sir.
This is a very informal interview.
I like that.
We need more Skittles.
Are you saying I should put my pants back on?
We need more Skittles.
Should we pause for Skittles?
No, let's hear. Lex! That's Lex Fajardo. Wasn't he a guest on your show?
Yeah. I interviewed him a little earlier. We might have him on this show. You may be sharing a show with Lex.
We should give him a chance to respond. Never mind. It's all right. We're just having fun.
Just around the corner.
Bonza. All right.
This will be good. This will be a lot better than that vegetarian discussion you filled the first 20 minutes of your last show with.
I was hoping for an edit. All right. Do you think a cartoonist?
Are your other hosts going to kill me? Or are they going to be pissed off that I said that?
Oh, they're gonna love it.
Okay. Good.
They're gonna love it. We need more humor in the show.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Which after your interview, we're gonna start doing that. do you think a cartoonist just starting out in newspaper syndication?
No.
Today.
That was the question. Is this for Breathed or me?
This was for Breathed, and then...
Very stilted interviewing style. Please proceed.
Well, it was an email.
Oh, Lex! Change the interview.
Do you think a cartoonist just starting out in newspaper syndication today has much of a chance of success? Was it different when you were starting? And he says it's a tightening, and more frightening market.
Yes.
Says, trust me, Bloom County would die a quick death if introduced today.
I think Bloom County would succeed whenever it's introduced. But there's no question. I mean, you can just do the math, really. Like, since 98, there have been, let's say, each syndicate launches two, maybe three a year. Six syndicates, 18, 20, so 18 a year. It's going to take quite a while. Give me some time. So let's say there's been 150 launches since 1998. Maybe that's a little high. At least 100. And how many have crossed the, I don't know, 400 newspaper mark? Boondocks, maybe. Fuzzy. Me. Leo, maybe. So that's out of how many, you know. And that's not even blockbuster status. We're not even talking 1,000 newspaper status. I don't think any of them have. So, because Zitz is 97. So since 98, there's been three, four, maybe, hits. That's a bad ratio. I mean, that bears wow. out what he's saying. You know, your odds of not... And there's... You know, the other thing is with comics, if you're not going ahead, you're probably going back.
Mm.
You have to keep adding. So he's right. I mean, you know what you can... Okay, there's less two paper towns. There's a paper you just lost because that's an automatic sale. In two paper town days, you always get one of them because the one will buy you to keep you away from the other. When there's no two paper towns, you know, there's 10 you've lost right there, or 20 if you count that they run you on Sundays because newspaper buys your daily and Sunday separately. So there's 20 newspapers that a starting cartoonist has lost right out of the gate. So that's bad. The second thing that's bad is when subscriber numbers go down, newspapers tend to get worried, and so they don't want turnover in the comics, so they get more conservative, which seems counterintuitive, but they get more conservative. Therefore, they won't give a chance to the new cartoonist because, you know, you don't see loss of subscribers for the cartoon you did not pick up, mm-hmm. but your boss will see people who cancel because you dropped Snuffy Smith.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's a bad dynamic for a starting cartoonist. So
wow.
It's rough. There's no question it's rough. I mean, the numbers bear it out, you know. But, yeah, it's a tough market.
God, the more I learn about all this, it's just so depressing. I'm like, God, I got to do something else.
It is kind of depressing, isn't it? Now I'm depressed.
Well, let's move on.
I'm going to go home and kill myself.
He did say more things on this question. He says, I told my syndicate to stop trying to market new, edgy political strips. They're nuts chasing Opus or Doonesbury or Mutz or Get Fuzzy at Al.
He didn't mention mine, though.
I know.
Oh, I don't. Now I don't like him. Never talk to him again.
Yeah, I don't know.
I liked him before you read that answer. Now, not so much.
Well, good. See, now this interview is taking a dark turn, and that's fun.
No, I think I don't think he's right on that because I think, look at the ones I just named. Boondocks, way
yeah.
edgy.
Oh, yeah.
Fuzzy, edgy. Me, edgy for whatever reason. And Leo, edgy. So all four that succeeded are edgy.
Yeah.
Name one that has succeeded that's not edgy. Oh, see, now you're going to make me rip on people.
I'm just trying to goad you.
I can't do that.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, he says,
I don't know who does that strip, but whoever, I apologize on behalf of Justin. He's an ass.
He says, if I wanted to make a lot of money, I'd design a strip with children mouthing homilies and platitudes with a biblical bent. It would clean up. A fortune awaits someone tapping into the readers that still stick with papers over age 60. Mm. Naturally, one would have to resist putting a revolver into one's mouth after a few weeks. But I think it's kind of talking about niche markets, in a way.
He talked about putting a revolver in your mouth?
Well, I mean, that was a joke. That was levity.
In your mouth or his mouth?
Oh, probably mine if he knew me.
After this. Yeah. Do you think he actually listened to the show?
I don't think so.
No way.
I mean...
you know what? He turned it on, and then what's your co-host's name? What's his name?
Brian?
Brian went on and on about vegetarianism.
Wow.
Brian, I apologize for that comment. Go ahead. Brian, you're going to cut that out.
Oh, I can't edit on this.
Oh, good.
I'll send it to Brian, and he can edit it.
Oh, I'm just kidding, Brian. Take it easy, my friend.
Well, I mean, we're just talking about, you know, he uses the kind of the children saying biblical platitudes because that would appeal to the over 60 crowd by and large.
I think he's wrong on that one. It just it doesn't bear out what's happened.
No.
So why hasn't one of those succeeded?
No, you're checking Amazon every once in a while, you know, the cartoonist books. Which ones are up there? Which are the top three or four?
Yeah, it's Fuzzy. Fuzzy's always at the top. Mm-hmm. I'm always near the top. Boondocks has them up there.
And the one that's not even syndicated.
Perry Bible Fellowship.
Way edgy.
Yeah, way edgy and doing fantastic. So there you go.
So despite what the editors are are inclined to pick up and what they think will like, that bears out, oh, no, people really want this. You're just not letting us have it.
Edgy's where it's at. Edgy's where it's at. Well, the only thing is that when you say you're just not letting us have it, you're assuming that those young people are going to would buy the paper.
Oh, that's true. They know better than I would. Of course, they're not going to buy the paper.
I mean, maybe the editor has made the right decision. Maybe the editor has concluded, I'm not going to get that young reader no matter what.
Exactly.
In which case, maybe that's the smart choice. Mm-hmm. But clearly, we know this. What's on the page, by and large, doesn't appeal. There, you know, you're not, your 15-year-old isn't running to the comic section by and large, you know. He's buying South Park, he's buying Family Guy DVDs, so that's clear. Whether a newspaper could turn it around by bringing in edgy strips, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I keep having this weird image of the editor being like this all-powerful being who knows best for everybody, like some parents. I got to get over that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we're gonna have an editor on the show hopefully next week. And
that's cool. Editor of what?
Of a syndicate, a comic syndicate.
Oh,
I've been in touch with one or two, and I don't want to say yet unless.
I think I know.
If
who it
falls
is.
Through.
I know who it is. Do I know who it is? I don't know who it is.
I'm not sure if you know, but I don't know. We can discuss that
later. Let's rip on more people.
All right. Want me to go on to the next one?
Sure.
Okay. Web cartoons are exploding all over the place, but few people have found how to make a living at it.
You said exploding all over the place.
You're so dirty. Do you think web cartooning?
I'm not very mature.
That's
go ahead.
Good. That's good.
Is that good? Okay. Fire away.
Do you think web cartooning is a viable money-making career, or is it just a great way to get yourself some exposure and notice as you build up an audience hoping to get syndicated? And he says, no sugarcoating it. Web stripping has yet to prove itself. But things change. I remember being absolutely sure there was no viable profit engine for website. Advertising was moribund 10 years ago. Now it's exploding. He says, I'm on Salon.com now. I'd trade several million of my readers in Dubuque, Iowa for a dozen of Salon readers. You will have to make peace with smaller numbers of more avid and informed eyeballs. Now, are there that many people in Dubuque, Iowa?
I don't think there's that many in all of Iowa.
Was he speaking metaphorically? And
yes, I think he's metaphoric.
So that's why he's a genius.
You know, what he just said is you can have a hobby. I mean, you're not going to make money doing that. So what do you, on that thing about having 12 readers, what did he say, from what slate?
Oh, Salon.com.
Salon, yeah. If it's going to be a hobby, you're not going to be able to make a living. But what did he say about webcomics? I should have listened better. What was the thing before? Did he say it's a good idea or a bad idea or a...
Well, he says that web comics have yet to prove themselves.
Let me put it this way. Go on Amazon, find the comic strip category. Click on that. You will see that today and for the last 2 months, Perry Bible Fellowship has been number one, beating me, beating Get Fuzzy, beating everything.
That's astounding.
Yeah, so he's a stud. I mean, if you're good enough, and he is, I mean, he's amazingly funny, you can make it. You know, he should be on the comic. If I had my way, I'd put Perry Bible Fellowship in every comic space. That makes me laugh. But if I can't say screwed, you sure as hat can't show a monkey screwing the zookeeper's wife, which isn't one of his.
Is it really? Okay, everybody go to Perry Bible Fellowship and check that out. He's getting a lot of plugs here today. That's good, though.
He's a rock star.
Deserves it. Those of us who read Bloom County the first time around remember its heyday in the 80s, and this is to, I lost my place. Okay, what either cultural, political, or semi-artistic entity from the 80s do you miss the most? And he says, the music, a president that much of the nation doesn't think is ridiculous, great movies that weren't made for retarded twerps, a cartoon page that was so barren even a semi-talent like myself could make an impression upon its windswept expanse.
That's what he misses from the 80s?
No, you and I have through the 80s. I mean, I don't know. Were the 80s that great culturally? I didn't think so at the time, but...
No, I like the Joshua Tree. You guys kind of slammed U2 last week.
No, I brought it up.
I couldn't tell if you were slamming it.
No, I brought it up. So for me, that was the only great piece of music and great music movement that came out of the 80s.
Springsteen was good. You don't like Springsteen?
I see him from the 70s for me.
Okay.
He was a 70s guy. He had that big album in the early 80s, yeah. And I'm not saying all the music was bad, but for me, most of it.
You know what really embarrassed me? I went to a party when I was a teenager. This must have been circa 1983 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And a breakdancing circle developed at my church dance.
Uh-oh.
And I did the worm across the circle.
The worm?
Yeah.
I don't think
so. Where you get on the floor and you keep your feet up and then your body. And I did it, and I wasn't watching where I was going, and towards the end, I hit the base of the stage. Oh, it was humiliating.
With your head?
And never again, when a dance circle has ever evolved, have I volunteered to make a move.
Oh, that's great.
I know, that's neither here nor there, but I wanted to bring it's been bothering me for 20 years.
The 80s bugged me. I don't know if it was because I was, maybe it was just me. But I retreated just to Jimmy Buffett music because I couldn't find anything on the radio I liked. And I was at a culturally stagnant place.
You were a Parrothead, right? Didn't you follow him? Did you say that? I watched the show. I listened to the show, so I know that you had a job.
I worked
at his
place.
His balls.
No, I was cleaning his dishes, which are close.
What did you say you did?
I went down to Key West because I was such a big Buffett fan.
Oh, that was a great story. Let me tell you that. That was a great story about the trash. I think you had told me that, but I forgot about it. You took the job at night.
Oh, yeah.
The trash. That was a good story.
That was fun.
That was the only part of the show I liked on last week.
Yeah, well, we're getting better.
Yeah, it's improving a little.
But yeah.
Actually, was the Pararo interview last week? I like that. Was that last week?
The Pararo was a week before.
Oh, okay.
Very interesting guy.
Are your co-hosts going to kill me for all the cracks about all the comments?
You haven't given any bad comments about it at all. You've been holding back beautifully.
All right, now I'm going to let loose.
All right, who do you think's doing quality work today, either writing or visuals? Again, he does not mention you.
What? Shit, you're kidding me.
I'm sorry. He says, I see exciting visuals and ideas everywhere. I think if I were starting now, I would head straight for the movies, frankly. They're eating up illustrated stories in every genre. Yeah, that's probably right. So where's his movie?
what was the question again? Where does he see good writing?
He says, who do you think is doing quality work today, either writing... Hmm. Or visuals. He didn't name any names.
Was that in the comic strips? Was that in comic strips? Or anywhere?
Yeah, I think that was the intention of the question, but he didn't want to really praise anybody, I guess. He didn't name any names. But he's saying he sees it everywhere. I guess you just got to pick it out, you know.
It's kind of a stupid question.
But he's like, he's finding it more in the movies, I guess. And I guess the movies are better now than they were
TV's
in the 80s.
TV's better.
You know, except for that damn shaky cam. Are you sick of the shaky cam like I am?
That's a little annoying. Here's what I see good writing. I'll put in my two plugs for Curb Your Enthusiasm and the British version of The Office. I know you like the American, but the British
I love
version,
the British version.
Okay, those two, Ricky Gervais and Larry David, are the best two comedians alive.
You need to start listening and watching some Judd Apatow movies.
Who's that?
Knocked Up, 40-Year-Old Virgin.
He did
some of the Gary Shandling
shows. I saw
40-Year-Old
Virgin. I like that one. I like the Gary Shandling show.
He's got these guys who can just sit and riff for hours and say the most outlandishly crazy things, and they're great.
That's funny. And in comic strips, I think that Perry Bible Fellowship guy. Mm. I think he's the best guy going.
So, yeah, you can...
I hope he likes me after he hears this.
We asked him about...
I've plugged him an awful lot.
His tech questions, you know, and like how he works. And he does, reading his answers, kind of like what I do. You kind of have a framework of a strip, and then... And they kind of piece it together in Photoshop later. Yeah. You don't use any Photoshop at all, really, hardly, right?
No, I do to clean. I draw it all. I draw the whole thing. I letter it myself. But then when I'm done on the dailies, I use Photoshop to clean it up and then add the grayscales. And then on the Sundays, I use it to color. So
you color your strips yourself?
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
You do a lot. You do some things that most... cartoonists would say that would just take too much time.
It does take a lot of time. But mine are pretty simple, so.
Well.
It's simpler than a lot of... I mean, like Patrick, the Mutz guy, he watercolors them.
Wow.
He watercolors it to see how it looks, and then he adds the... Then he writes in all the American Color colors. Every color has those three numbers, you know? And he writes in the number along the margin of the thing to show the color people where those colors go. That's after he's watercolored it. So you have to watercolor it, get it to how you like it, then figure out where those colors you just used are on the chart, what number they are, and then write those in on the borders on a white sheet and tell the guy. I mean, that's work. That's a whole day minimum.
Wow.
My Sunday, I could do a Sunday in 4 hours, five at the most.
So. You have some advice once you tell me that you would give.
Stop stealing the change out of my change jar. That wasn't really advice. That was more of a command. Because that's rude. Just because it's in here. Just because here.
You have a great command of my subconscious mind.
This is it, right here.
No, but it was...
You always thought I wouldn't notice, because you take just the smaller change, but I see. It's always down.
Well, who misses nickels, dude?
It's a lot of money over time. What an ass you are. Oh. What was the rest of the advice
Well,
you
see, something about, you know, what advice you would give any cartoonist who's getting ready to syndicate or send his stuff off, who needs a gauge, is this really funny?
Mm.
And it was something like, was something you would show your friends or something?
Oh, I
thought that was really great advice.
That
I'd love to get that on the show.
Smart on my part.
Yes.
Should I put that on the show?
Yes.
The advice I have that is so valuable is this.
I forgot.
You keep screwing it up. Don't talk before I say it. The advice is you pretend, I know it sounds stupid, but pretend you're writing a note in class to pass to your buddy, or you're writing a note at an office meeting to pass to the guy sitting next to you to make him laugh. That's an amazingly direct test that will focus you on really doing something that's funny as opposed to something you only think is funny. That's one test. A second test is to take your stuff and show it to 20 people who don't necessarily like you. People you work with are a great example of that. Just kind of lukewarm about you.
Yeah, like you are to me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a little worse than lukewarm.
Well.
After the change thing. So get them, show them, and watch them. Don't just hand it to them and walk away. Watch them and see what their reaction is. Do they actually laugh? Because if it's not funny, they won't laugh. And if you can't make your coworker laugh, you're not going to make the guy at the syndicate laugh. So
that's great.
Was that worth the drum roll? And now, let's do extra music. Is that what it's called? Extra, after the end, as opposed to intro? And that way, and that concludes good advice.
Wait. I'm looking up extra on Wiki.
that concludes good advice with Stefan Pastis.
Really deep thoughts with Jack Handy.
No, that's going to be so. That's going to be the best part of the show. That's going to be
absolutely. I'd say we'd lead with that if we didn't already have like 30 minutes of interview. But
shit,
that's good.
Go ahead.
I think. Okay. He asked him this Douglas Adams question. Do you know who? Do you ever read Douglas Adams?
I know Darby's a big fan of his. Yeah, the space thing there.
Yeah, I never read it, so I did. That was completely missed.
There's a significant number in his. There's a number. Yeah. Everything's.
Do you want to?
No. I know what it is though. What is the name of the book though?
Hitchhiker's
Guide to the Galaxy.
Guide to the Galaxy. Okay. Now, yeah, he sent back an email after he sent his first.
Well, that's incredible because I think Douglas Adams is dead.
No, I'm sorry. I should have specified. Breathed.
Now there you'd have a story. That would be worth a musical intro.
I know, and it's, you know, it wouldn't be anything about thanks for the fish.
Do you think Brian really will fill that in with music? That'd be so cool.
No. He's a very busy man.
He should do that.
I like the raw thing.
No, I don't like production. I want music there. I want music to lead that in.
We'll see.
No, I think it has to be done.
Isn't that a parental response? We'll see.
Yeah, that never happens. As a kid, you know what that means. That's no.
Well, for me, it was always like, we'll see, man. Oh, it could happen. It's going
to
happen.
How long did it take you to realize that's no? You're a little slower than some other people.
Actually, I don't know. We'll see with my mom usually meant maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's ask Lex.
She'd say F no meant a little
let's
slightly
go to Lex.
Definitive.
This has become the Lex, Justin, and Stephen show. Hey, Lex.
Yeah.
I'll repeat your answer for the recorder so it'll pick it up. When your mom said, we'll see, what did that mean?
Generally, she hoped that I would forget about it.
Yeah, that's it. You're the only kid that didn't figure out that's a no.
And that's why it turned out to be so weird.
Yeah. That's why you're stealing change from your coworkers. I really do think you stole change.
It's just nickels, dude. Get over it. Breath had sent back a response to his own email.
I didn't hear what was the question.
Well, it was just a response after he had finished. Oh. You know, he started thinking about maybe that what he said was really negative.
Okay.
And he said, "Listen, mention that my gloomy point of view is one of an aging codger from the glory days of the '80s." He says, we tasted the fruits of massive reader numbers, but that's not all there is. If I was starting today, I'd be delighted to only appear on Salon or Slate.com and relish their intelligent readership and simply forget the numbers. He says, that admittedly puts aside the income issue. Millionaire cartoonists may go the way of buggy whips, but people will still find and enjoy the damn thing. So your listeners should take heart that the art form is in transition, but not dying.
Mm.
And that's true. Change is always a little painful, but, you know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he could, you know, he could do that now if he wanted to. He's not. He's in papers. I mean, that's it's just not a way to make a living. I mean, I think there's an answer to this, and I think it's in what I said. I think it's in, I think you got to get your strip animated, and you got to get it on those platforms that the kids do have in their hand, as opposed to a newspaper.
Like Over the Hedge.
Like Over the Hedge. But he's definitely right on. I only wish I could have the audience he had in the 80s in newspapers. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, that's just there's yeah, that is a fact of life that's now gone. Yeah, you know, I met him once. I met him a couple times, but the one time I met him, he said something like, at the end of our conversation, he said something like, you know, when you're done, turn off the lights, meaning that, it, you know, you're near the end of comic strips runs. And I remember thinking at the time, wow, what a negative sort of outlook. But, you know, as you see these papers collapse, like, more and more it seems prophetic. Like, it's, you know, it may happen. But I think we just have to turn the corner and get animated in short form. I hope that's the answer, because otherwise I got to go back to being a lawyer. Would that suck?
God.
Would that be a horrible... That's my worst case scenario of life. Do you think that's bad?
Yeah.
That would suck.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to kill myself.
Well, you find something else to make
it. This whole interview is depressed the hell out
of me. No.
Let's
very
go back
good.
To talking about being kind to animals. Let me put in a plug for Dan's animal farm.
Woodstock Farm Animal Sanctuary.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I want to put in a plug.
All right. Go ahead.
I was going to say something.
Oh, you meant that digital clock? Is that what you meant?
I was going to do a joke, but I couldn't think of anything fast enough.
Well, I think that was great. That's going to give us a great show.
That's it? That's the whole thing? I want to keep talking, though. How much time have we taken up?
Let me see on the counter here. It says 35:19.
Wow, we're dominating the show.
Yeah.
We're dominating. I've made your show.
Yeah.
Next week, I will even listen to the show. I will listen to this whole
thing. Oh, I'm sure you will listen to this one.
This will be compelling.
But basically, you know, because I know that you had some strong opinions about this kind of stuff, and I knew you'd come up with some great stuff for this, and I thank you for that interview. That was very, it's been really great.
I can't tell you how wonderful it's been to spend this time with
you. This is Stefan Pastis, and if we didn't mention it before, the author, writer, creator of Pearls Before Swine. The latest book is The Sopratos.
Wow, you get a plug, too?
Hell yeah, you get a plug.
Yeah, rock and roll!
And on our website, comicscoasttocoast.com, you'll get one in print with a link.
Tacky.
I'm telling them how to get to your link. Oh. Or you can just go to Amazon.com, write in The Sopratos.
Yes.
It's the latest collection, and the cover's brilliant. It's like this Sopranos.
The Sopranos parody.
That's great. You got to just go check out the... Just check out the cover. It's so funny. Stefan, thanks so much.
Yes, thank you.
And you too, Lex.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll take a Bavarian cream.
Now that was too cool. I love it.
What? Was that okay?
That was great. The interview, yeah. I think you did great.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny, but he said some really cool things in there.
Yeah, yeah.
That advice about, you know, showing your strip to your friends is like a note you would pass...
Yeah,
you know, to crack somebody up. That's totally correct point of view about how to create a comic strip put so succinctly. And I've listened and read tons of interviews with cartoonists. Never have I heard anything so dead on simple as that.
Well, he's a genius, man. That's all I can say. Brilliant.
That's good advice. And it's coming to you from Comics Coast to Coast.
That's right.
Don't forget to tell people where you heard it.
That's right. Comics Coast to Coast. You can go to our website at comicscoasttocoast.com. And you can also actually got some really funny phone calls this week on our phone line. Hold on a second. I'll try to find the number on that. But I got one. It was a fax. It was a – hold on a second. I'll see if I can see it here. Yes, it's a fax to some type of lease amendment. I didn't even know I could get faxes through K7.net, but apparently I can. And I'd like to apologize to anyone who is waiting on their lease amendment fax and never received it. But there it is. And if you do want to call and leave a message with us, you can call 206-338-2519 and leave us a message there. I also have another message I may play. Also, it sounded like it was a wrong number, but we'll tag that on to the end of the show. I think that would be fun.
Well, so, we can't really do a comic strip theater because we don't have our other thespian with
us. Right. He's always the one who does introductions. He does such a great job. I'd really feel bad about it.
Yeah. It just wouldn't be the same, would it?
No, it wouldn't. I would feel
bad. But I would like to direct people to a webcomic pick of the week.
Oh, yeah. We're going to put the webcomic pick of the week right here.
Webcomic of the week.
And my webcomic pick of the week is one that was mentioned ad nauseum in that interview with Stefan Pastis. It's called the Perry Bible Fellowship. You can get there at pbfcomics.com. If you like your comics a little on the well-done side, a little Cajun seasoning, a little on the dark side like I do, check this out. My God, they're funny. They're very dark. Think Leo, but darker.
But much darker.
Darker and really, really funny. And you know what I really love about it is his art style changes a lot. If you look through his archive, he's not locked into anything. He's a real artist.
Nice.
So go check that out and laugh. Yeah.
All right. Sounds excellent. Maybe next week, that guy Tom will be back with us.
Sure he will, because I think we're going to have a good guest this week.
I think so. And are we going to be doing that this next week? Have we been to the lineup?
During the day, though, so I'm not sure if you're going to be able to pull it off.
All right. We'll talk more about that after the show. And we will try to announce that on the website this week. Sorry I didn't get a chance to put up Ustream this week. The last two episodes we've done recorded, I tried to run Ustream.tv, and you know what? It messed up the audio. So I'm hoping this show will be the exception, and hopefully I will sound good and not like I was in some type of a can or something like I have for the last couple of weeks. And I might be skipping the Ustream thing until I can figure that out. But that should do it for this show.
Okay, then.
We hope you enjoyed it, and good night.
Good night.
Started up and push it to the floor. I've got a funny feeling that I've done this all before. Something better give, cause I can't take it anymore. I'm going down. I'm going down, 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 down. I'm going down. I'm going down, 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 down. Everyone is angry, things are getting pretty tough. You need a fix to pull you through, cause man, you got it rough. You're working hard to